rejoice before you. As with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors, all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. An authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thank you.
Continuing with our scripture, our New Testament reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 2, starting with the first 12 verses. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered, and this was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
the story continues. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. it is to gather together and to sing the carols, and the songs of the season. What a gift of our brass ensemble and our choir tonight and all they've worked on. Can we give them a hand for all that? That's so wonderful. Yeah, yeah. So good. Well, Christmas is a story about a baby being born into the world. But, of course, there are other ways that it is described. One of the Gospels talks about Jesus as the light being born into the world, the light of life, the light that shines in the darkness. And I don't know if it really occurred to me until this week that the Christmas story is so full of moments in the dark, moments that take place at night. Of course, we heard some of those moments tonight in our reading. The shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And of course, they didn't have the glow of the city lights out then, right? 2,000 years ago, you can imagine how dark the night was in those moments when the angels showed up. Of course, we know the Christmas story. There are those other moments when Mary and Joseph have these encounters with the angels, some of them in dreams at night as they sleep. Of course, there are the wise people who come from the east. What are they doing? They're following a star. Well, it's hard to follow a star in the daylight, right? What's happening at night? So much of the Christmas story unfolds in the midst of night, of darkness. And so it is appropriate, it seems, that we gather in the dark of night on Christmas Eve. Talk about the light that has come and the light that is coming. Gospel of John says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. That's what Christmas is really all about, this darkness and light that we live with. Now I wonder tonight, how many of you are fans of the Star Wars movies, stories, tales? We got a few of you out there. How about Harry Potter? We got some Potter fans. Star Trek. You got some Trekkies, right? We could go Avengers. You know, we could go on and on. What do we love about those stories? Why are they so compelling, so fun? Why do they draw us in so well? Because they're stories about light versus dark. And yes, some of them get to be cliche. Some of them overly done and a bit formulaic, but I think we're so drawn to them because ultimately they're sort of this divine story being told in the midst of those. We live with this battle of light versus dark. So tonight I want to share three stories of light to help us celebrate tonight, and help us remember and be challenged by the light. First comes from the 1860s. Robert Louis Stevenson, remember him? The author of Treasure Island. How many of you remember Treasure Island? Most folks over 40, about, that's what I'm seeing right about here. Yeah, okay. Jekyll and Hyde, did that one too. There's a few others. Great, great Scottish writer. Turns out when Robert Louis Stevenson was a child, he was rather sickly. And so he spent a lot of time at home in bed, find to his home. And the story goes, there were these times when this evening was growing. His mother would catch him at the window, staring out to the darkness. And she'd wonder, she'd ask him, Robert, what are you doing? What are you looking at? And he would say simply, I'm watching the man poking holes. What do you mean, Robert? She asked. He pointed out, said him, the one out there, he's poking holes in the darkness, and what he saw was the lamplighter of the moment, who would come out each night and bring his ladder up to the post and light the lamps, the lights along the way. take that to heart. As, of course, some of his great characters in the stories battled against darkness, poking holes in it, bringing light. The light has come, and the light is coming. The next story from the 1950s, and I was reminded by a friend yesterday that it was 50 years ago tonight that Apollo 8 was circling the moon, and the astronauts read from the gospel, from the book of Genesis, the creation story, where we hear the first moments of creation. What is created? God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. One of those astronauts years before found himself flying at night. He was on a mission out on the Sea of Japan, flying off of a carrier. And he found himself after takeoff in the midst of an electrical storm. His guidance systems had been knocked out. And he was going the wrong way. He was getting lost. And to make matters worse, his cockpit lights for all of his instruments shorted out as well. He was flying blind, and he had no idea where he was. And as his fuel was running low, he figured, this is it, I'm going to have to ditch. Plane into the ocean. Pray he survives. And as he was preparing for that moment, he stared off into the darkness, pitch black sea at night. And he happened to notice a trail of light developing. At first, it was puzzling to him, and then he thought about it a little longer, and he recognized what he was seeing was the algae in the ocean as it stirred up as phosphorescent. And it was becoming this carpet of light. What was being stirred up by the aircraft carrier. He found a light to bring him home. And he landed on that carrier that night. Thankful for the light shining, because sometimes when the light shines, poking holes into the darkness, it helps us guide our way home. Third story of light comes in the 1990s, the south side of Chicago. There was a woman named Hazel. Hazel never considered herself to be much of a lamplighter. But she loved to sing. Oh, did she love to sing. But it turns out Hazel really couldn't carry a note, carry a tune, even if she had a bucket. And so after months in the church choir, the choir director said, "Hazel, maybe there's a better place for you to sing, just not in the choir." That didn't discourage Hazel. She kept on singing out in the congregation, loud and proud. Hazel was in her 60s, and at one point, the rent was raised on her apartment, and she was on a fixed income and couldn't afford it, so she had to move. Moved into a different neighborhood for less rent, and found, as she looked around, the neighborhood was a little scarier than the last. She had to sell her car, couldn't afford the gas, started riding the bus, and, well, some rough characters. But she was a bold, courageous woman, and it didn't dissuade her. Wednesday nights, she would make her way on the bus to church, to sing in the Wednesday night service, and then ride home. It was on one of those Wednesday nights late that she made her way home to her apartment, and she came up to the entrance to the apartment door. She noticed a shadow in the alcove inside. Shadow of a large figure. She couldn't quite make out the person, but she thought it might be this one man who she'd seen in the apartment complex before. He was big. He was a bit scraggly. She thought he was sort of a mean, scary type. She worried, what was he doing there? But she screwed up enough courage to open the door and to make her way in, and she began to sing. She figured, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to sing. So she sang in her off-tune way. She sang, "When you walk through a storm, keep your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark." She didn't know know all the words, but she got to the chorus. The chorus said, walk on with hope in your heart. You'll never walk alone. And it was enough to get her through the entrance and up the stairs and into her apartment. She locked the door breathlessly, thanking God she'd made it safely, not knowing what the intent was of the shadowy figure. And after she'd calmed down enough, she fell asleep. It wasn't until she woke up the next morning she found a note had been slipped under her door. It said this, "Dear lady, I don't know who you are, but I want to thank you for singing to me last night. I was ready to cash it in, to take my life. Then I heard you singing out there in the hall. It sounded like you didn't have a care in the world. You got me thinking about never walking alone. You saved my life. I'm going home to start over. It's time for me to go back to my parents and let them know I'm okay. I'm leaving today. I just wanted to thank you for your song." The writing was scrabbly, almost illegible, but she could make out the signature, and she was sure it was written by that big, scary man. Hazel never suspected that her song would poke a hole in the darkness of someone else's life. But it did. That's the way light is. It shines through us in surprising moments and unsuspecting ways. God has a funny way of using light. Sometimes it's phosphorescent algae glowing in the ocean to bring us home. John Jorgensen, who is a pastor, he does something called spoken word, sort of a form of poetry. He has something to say about the light as well, and I found it this year, and I thought it helpful. I wanted to share it with you, so take a look.
So in the middle of the night, when the angel appears to the shepherds' fright, do not be afraid, they say, just follow the light. Star light, star bright, first son is born tonight to the Virgin Mother, the brother of James, who uttered wonder and suffered under others' blunders to uncover a love for each other and a father. sun shining so brightly, it's only right we called him the light of the world. This light was broken and spread, covering every sin that he touched, illuminating the truth, captivating our attention, and generating our tomorrow. So let this be a sign that the blind can see, that the water is wine, that the broken are free, and his light will shine into every crack of brokenness, over every horizon of hope. Through the prism of his promise, behold, a drummer boy drumming, for glory's home coming, and evil succumbing to the light that has come, and the light that is coming.
Gracious God, we are grateful this night we get to celebrate the light. The light that has come and that is coming. The light that shines brightly into the darkest corners.